Thanks for all of you to come for this lunch session. Great to see so many people in the room. Maybe next year the international section should consider getting larger rooms for their meetings, because all of the sessions have been well attended so far. So my presentation builds a lot on what my colleague Bella has presented already. Based on the model from the Philippines, we have thought a lot about how can school health programs become more effective? How can school health programs be scaled up? How can they reach more children? How can the interventions be more effective? And when you look at the program of this big program manual for this conference here, there are dozens of sessions on school health for different aspects of school health. Good that this topic here is under the umbrella of innovation. This is why we were invited. And Bella has already mentioned the award from the World Bank, the United Nations Development Programme, and the WHO, because this programme is in many ways innovative, in many ways that are far exceeding the context of this presentation, our two presentations here. You will get an idea of it, and we are really happy to be at your disposal afterwards to answer any questions. So, the gap between policies and reality. We all know that school health is an important part of health development, for children in particular, and that policies exist in almost every country. Paper is very patient, and so are policies. So you have a policy on paper, which is maybe part of a national strategy, of a national plan. The question is, what is actually happening on the ground? How is this policy implemented? What is really being done in the schools? So often you see that if there are programs that come from the policy, they are very limited in regional reach. The geography is very limited. So sometimes it's just around the capital or some of the major cities. Rural areas usually are not even touched. Content-wise or conceptually, most school health programs focus very vertically on specific diseases and don't have a broad, integrated, horizontal view of health, of child health. Also, when you look at the quality of implementation, you see that, yeah, the posters of the program are hanging there, but what is actually happening on a daily basis or whatever basis is very unclear. The school administration doesn't really know, there's no proper accountability because there's also a lack of monitoring and evaluation system. So all of these are the realities. What we have come up with now is a kind of action framework. Based on the model of the Philippines, we have developed 10 points which can really help to streamline, clarify, and make a school health policy actionable. Some of the things are overlaps with what Bella has said. Some of the things are very common sense. It's just a matter of speaking about them, put them into practice. So when you look at international school health policies, there's a lot out there already. There is the FRESH approach. I'm not sure how many of you here in the room are related to school health. Who of you does anything in school health? Okay, quite a few. So UNESCO as the United Nations Agency for Education came up with a comprehensive policy framework. WHO has health promoting schools. UNICEF has the concept of child-friendly schools. Then there was an alliance call to action adopted in Vancouver 3 years ago. All of these international frameworks are very important guidance when it comes to national activities. So the first proposal from our 10-point framework is, if you do something nationally, link it back to the international context. It may sound very abstract, but it really helps, because donor agencies and governments, they are accountable to these international treaties and policies and policy frameworks. And if you can show that your program contributes to achieving one of these international frameworks, it will get more support, it can get more funding, it becomes more sustainable. You can adapt, and you have to adapt, of course, what is from the international context to the national, regional, local level. But you don't have to reinvent everything, because some of the key elements of any successful school health program are already outlined on an international level. A second point, and all these points that I mentioned are not in an order of priority, they are all almost equally important. A second point is that communities and other important stakeholders need to be involved. It's not just a matter of the school or just a matter of the school administration. The school is no isolated island in the society. It is embedded in the cultural values, in the communities that surround it. The parents are very important stakeholders in any school, irrespective of low, middle, or high-income country. Parents' associations are very powerful in every country. So involve them in what is happening in the school, show them what the program will benefit, bring as benefit to their kids, make them part of the system, involve them even in the monitoring process. I'll come back to that later. Another important point, and Bella has talked already about the public health priorities in the Philippines. Of course, if you want to do a school health program, this program has to be relevant. It has to address diseases that are of concern to the child population that you want to address. So the question is, of course, what are these priority diseases that affect the children? Are there evidence-based interventions to tackle these diseases? And are these interventions feasible in a school health context? Of course, if you need very sophisticated interventions, it might be very difficult and unrealistic to implement something in a school context. But if it's very simple, something very simple, like hand washing, of course, that is very easy and feasible. The interventions themselves are very important. They need to be, as I said, very simple, so that they can be done on a regular basis without a lot of extra work in the schools. Because one of the principles of the approach is that it is not health professionals going to the school and doing the interventions. It is the teachers and the personnel that is already on the ground that are doing these interventions. So it is no extra workforce coming in. You use the workforce that is there to perform something that is very simple. Of course, if it's simple, it doesn't mean that it's meaningless. It has to be evidence-based. And the literature for many very simple interventions is very large. Simple things can be very effective. Effective in terms of outcomes, but also, as we have heard, in terms of cost-effectiveness. And important, Bella mentioned that before as well, is skills-based interventions. So anything that helps to change behavior on a long-term, sustained basis. Giving children the skills for lifelong healthy habits. The intersectoral collaboration is a very important element. School health is usually kind of trapped in between different administrations. It depends on the country. Usually it is the Ministry of Education that is in charge of anything that happens in the school. But the Ministry of Health also has a health workforce that is dedicated to school health issues. If you go to kindergartens, daycare centers, the situation may become even more complex. So it is sometimes quite difficult to organize and streamline these activities. There's maybe a group coming in talking about toothbrushing, just as an example, another group coming in doing other health kind of health education, and they don't even know of each other. So it is very important that there is a coordination and there's a harmonized, streamlined, very simplified approach. And in order to get to this, you need agreements between administrations. This may sound very simple and straightforward, but in many countries this is not so easy, because administrations, they all live in their silo. They don't talk to each other. They have their own agendas. They have their own strategic planning. Sometimes the people who work on very similar issues don't even know each other or talk to each other. So with a school health program, you have the chance to bring those people to the table and to join their forces and their synergies on a common goal, which is improving child health, of course, in the school context. It also helps if the program and the outcomes of the program contribute to a broader development agenda. And by this, again, it may seem very abstract, but if you can demonstrate that your school health program, for example, helps to achieve the Millennium Development Goals, the government will jump and say, yes, please, let's do it. And if it only costs us 50 cents per child per year, why haven't we done it before? So it's an important argument in advocacy and lobbying for the program, and it helps to sustain the effort. Indirect effects, of course, they are important, and you can use them to build the argument for your program even further and to create sustainability. There are the direct effects of the program itself on the children, but as I said, the school is not an isolated thing in society. Anything that happens in the school has a positive effect on the surrounding community. And in the Philippines, just to go back to that example, we have seen that, for example, if the school wants to implement hand washing and there's no piped water access, so what do we do? The community starts thinking about, well, what is our situation in general in our village? How can we put pressure on our government and our local government to help our infrastructure evolve and improve? Monitoring evaluation has been mentioned already as an important part of the program. It needs to be part of the program's concept from the start in order to be able to show the benefits, both in terms of process and outcome. In terms to monitor the quality of implementation of the program, you need to be able to show that it works so that you can scale up because you want to reach more, you want to do more. You want to build up your argument and you want to show what are the best practices possible. For this, it is necessary to have a streamlined technical assistance. And in the Philippines case, it is the NGO Fit for School, which assists the ministry in creating this technical, in providing this technical assistance. If you have very clear, consistent messages, if you have templates, manuals, guidelines, that helps the people on the ground to do what they are supposed to do. And without you having to be present all the time, you cannot be physically in all the 40,000 schools of the country in the Philippines. You just need good material to disseminate and a process to make people do what you want them to do. And in this context, of course, the political leadership is very important. If you have the minister or some high-ranking politician or even a society champion like a famous pop star or someone else who is supporting the idea and the concept, this will help a great deal in making the program reality and in scaling it up to a national level. Because in those countries, low, middle-income countries, the real problems are with the poor, and the poor are in the urban periphery, in the rural areas. So you need to reach them, and we have heard before how this can be done. So thinking big on a mass scale is very important. And Bella has shown as well how you can create, through the program, incentives for politicians to support the program. Use the program to its benefit, but also to the benefit of the politician who can push it further. It's a very delicate balance, but it's something that can be done if it's properly planned. As well, I would like to end with a quotation from a dear colleague from the World Bank. He wrote on the occasion of a high-level meeting of the Education for All initiative in Ethiopia earlier this year. He wrote that the question is not whether school health programs are necessary, because they are really indispensable, but the question is how they can be implemented at a meaningful scale in the poorest countries which need them the most. This is the challenge that we all face, and maybe we can find some solutions to that today. Thank you.